things to you by way of introduction before we actually get to that first page. I've tried to give you plenty of space for taking notes. Some of the first four chapters are will not be covered because I took this outline from the way I used to do this course, the first four chapters, but I am adapting it and modifying it. So if I skip over a few things, I don't want you to think that you're missing out on something or that because of time we're having to leave out a lot of things. I just didn't want to take the time to delete it, so I just included it, and you got that free. I'm going to talk for the first session tonight about the necessity of prayer and why. Is prayer really necessary? And I know that you believe it is, but I want you to be able to understand from Scripture why prayer is really necessary. And the reason for that is I've discovered in my life that the more I understand the why of something, the more motivated I am to do it. I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me to do something, or when I was growing up and a person in authority said to me, do this or do that, and I asked them why, when they said to me, because I said so, that wasn't much of a motivator, unless they had a paddle or something. But when I understand why, all of a sudden it displaces complacency and apathy. And now I can do it with reasoning, with understanding, and it becomes a great motivator for me. So is prayer really necessary? Or is it something that God just said do to make us religious? Or was He just making us talk to Him? You know, He just wanted us to relate to Him, so He makes us pray. Well, if God is a relational God, which I believe that He is, and I know you do as well, I don't think that's very relational, just to talk to someone because you don't have a choice. I believe prayer is much more than that, and I believe God established it for reasons that are much higher than that. And so let me just read you a couple of quotes, then I'm going to say a few things, and then we'll move into this first chapter. So don't look for me, this is not in your outline. Wesley said, God does nothing on the earth except in answer to believing prayer. Now that's quite a statement. Some people ask me at times, do you really believe that? And I said, well, yeah. I don't ever put God in a box and say that He never would do anything except in answer to prayer in the earth. But I believe that the principle is there, and that generally speaking, God does nothing in the earth except in answer to believing prayer. E.M. Bounds said it this way, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven. I love this quote. This is found in Intercessory Prayer. You could, in the book, you could read it later in there. But he says, the prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries on His great work upon earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of His cause on prayer. This thing of God and man working together, let's just think about it for a minute or two before we move into some of these verses in chapter 1. Isn't this the story that is woven throughout the Scriptures? God working through people. I mean, it's not really that complicated, is it? It really is the essence of what the Scriptures are all about. It's God and the human race and how we work and function together. God and humans, for better or worse, doing it together. God needing faithful men and women. God needing a race, the Jewish people. He needed a race through whom He could work. God needing prophets and judges and kings. A human Messiah. Human hands to heal, voices to speak, and feet to go. And doesn't God to say in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer to ask Him for His kingdom to come and His will to be done? Doesn't He say ask Him for our daily bread, even though the Scriptures say He knows our needs before we even ask them? But He still says ask. Doesn't He say ask for laborers for the harvest? Even though, how many of you think He wants those laborers more than we do? But He says ask. Didn't Paul say, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified? 2 Thessalonians 3:1. You know, I shouldn't have to pray for the word of the Lord to spread. You'd think he'd just be motivated to do that without us asking. Aren't these things already God's will? Now listen, why then would I have to ask him for something that he already wants to do if it wasn't that my asking somehow released it? Now just think about that. If all of these things are his will anyway, and yet he said ask, why would he have us do that if it wasn't that our asking somehow released him to do it? Does he ever say ask for things in Scripture that are going to happen anyway? How many of you can take me any place in the Bible where it says pray that water would be wet? Or that gravity would do its work? Or pray that the sun comes up in the morning? Or pray that there would be air to breathe? He never says ask for anything that he instituted as something automatic, did he? And yet all of these other weighty things that he told us to do and ask him for, he said, you ask and I'll do it. Well, I believe prayer is necessary. And that's what we're going to talk about in this first hour, maybe hour and a half. We're going to just look at some scriptures and some passages that I think amplify this. And we're going to understand why prayer is necessary. And when we finish, I believe you'll be more motivated to pray. Because you're going to know that it really matters. You're really doing something. It's not a legalistic thing, by the way. It's just a partnership, isn't it? All right, we're chapter 1. Man's role on the earth.